السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ولقد صرفنا في هذا القرآن ليذكروا وما يزيدهم إلا نفورا وننزل من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين ولا يزيد الظالمين إلا خسارا مخالفین اسلام کو اسلام قرآن کریم
حضور says that the opponents of Islam continue to expose and surface their envy, malice and rancor towards Islam, the Quran and the Holy Prophet peace and blessings of Allah be upon him time and again. The news to this effect has emerged once again in the past few days, which has seen an extremely strong reaction in certain Muslim countries, and this is occurring. An irreverent American priest who in September 2010 used profane and outspoken remarks against the Quran, and he claimed that he would burn it. At that time, due to certain pressure, he could not carry out the spiteful act. However, 2 days ago, he got together with his companions and he went ahead with this vile deed of burning the Quran. And in order to justify this impious exploit, he concocted this ruse, where he formed a jury, and this jury consisted of 12 members, and that jury made the decision themselves in order to represent the Muslims. An imam of a mosque was also called to join them, that come and defend the Holy Quran. After 6 hours, this jury decided that, God forbid, the Holy Quran provides teachings of extremism and terrorism, and therefore they decided that it should be burnt.
Yeah.
The jury consisted of its own members, and they were their own judges. In fact, it should be said that they were criminals who judged themselves. Nonetheless, this priest does not hold much standing in America. He does not have a significant following, nor many adherents with him. There might be only a few hundred people who come to his church. He carried out this horrendous act to attain cheap publicity. The media and newspapers have featured this latest act once again. In actuality, it is the media that is giving impetus to this person. Rather than try to foster peace, fuel is being placed on the fire. The only reason they have done this is to grab the world's attention to their news stories, and therefore to try and achieve popularity for that newspaper, website or TV channel or whatever media has given this news. Analysts, however, have said that despite so much coverage being given to this by the media, the people have not responded with much interest in this news. Various people were interviewed for this. The Council on American Islamic Relations is an organization based in America. One of their representatives was interviewed about this, but he refused to comment in any way, saying that this priest was just a despicable person. If he goes ahead with this, he may attain 15 minutes of fame. However, if we provide any statement, then through that he may attain even more fame, and we do not desire for him to gain any more popularity. Anyhow, this is their view. These kind of despicable and unjust acts, as I have stated, have always occurred against Islam. And such acts, whether carried out amongst friends in private or whether it is carried out in public, when such acts come into the knowledge of a true believer, it hurts him immensely. However, this suffering that is caused to a believer, it does not entail a response from him, that he places a price on somebody's head, as certain organizations have put a price on this priest's head, or that they protest in the streets and they start causing violent disorder and cause harm to the nation. And by doing this, that they strengthen the hand of the enemy further. In fact, a true reaction entails. But such a beautiful picture is portrayed of the Quran through a person's word, through a person's deed, and through a person's own character, that the world itself starts to condemn such unjust people. Those who are blind would not be able to see the splendor of the Holy Quran, and neither can they ever see it. Otherwise, some right-minded people of various religions have acknowledged and recognized the excellence of the Holy Quran, amongst whose are also Hindus, are also Sikhs, and also Christians who have written in praise of these things. And they cannot refrain from praising it. I will provide some examples which will testify themselves that what the status was of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in non-Muslims. and how beautiful the teachings of the Holy Quran are. It is not just this unfortunate person who is speaking out nowadays. Only a few days have passed where a columnist in an American newspaper also wrote something. He wrote that Muslims are not bad. Hazrat said, look at the trickery of the Dajjal, the Antichrist. So he said that Muslims are not bad. But the teachings of the Quran are the essential reason that promotes terrorism and extremism amongst them. These people have never read the Quran and nor have they ever probably seen it. All they want to do is release the rancor and enmity in their hearts. Anyhow, there is a reference that I will present. This relates to a book, The History of the International Development of Europe, by John William Draper. In volume 1, page 332, which is published in New York, it reads there that it is a completely erroneous concept that the progress of the Arabs occurred with the force of the sword. The sword can change the religion of a nation, but it cannot change the views and the conscience of a person. So later on in the same book, the page number is 343-344. But anyhow, it says that that person who reads the Holy Quran, who is of good nature, without any doubt becomes extremely surprised that how the purpose has been portrayed in such a beautiful manner. The Holy Quran is filled with great moral teachings and also commandments and instructions. Its organization and arrangement is so clear, and every word is filled with such great meaning. Every page entails such topics and issues that without praising it, one cannot move forward. So Zuru says, this is the view of this Orientalist. And there are many Orientalists who, despite differences in religious opinions, they have to go about truthfully and honestly. They were obligated because the voice of the heart said we should move forward with justice. They could not remain without praising the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and the Holy Quran. However, those who are filled with rancor and enmity, they do not see anything. The verses of the Holy Quran that I recited, in it, Allah the Almighty has provided a snapshot of such people that the Holy Quran is true. There is no doubt whatsoever in its truth. The translation of the verses I recited is, we have surely repeated signs again and again in this Quran so that they may be admonished, but it only increases them in aversion. This is verse number 42 of the chapter Bani Israel. So thus the Holy Quran has provided a snapshot of such people. The state of such people is like the state of the kuffar, the disbelievers. Every verse of the Holy Quran which portrays a story of the old history also provides a prophecy. Such people were always born in opposition to Islam and will continue to be born, despite the clear and lucid teachings of Islam, and despite explanation of every issue, despite elucidations from every angle, they will still raise objections with this. And not only do they raise objections, but it says that the Holy Quran, this beautiful teaching of it, which we explain from different angles, this elucidation from different angles, instead of opening the people's eyes, وَمَا يَزِيدُهُمْ إِلَّا نَفُورًا, it only increases them in aversion for this beautiful teaching. This only increases them in hatred and enmity towards this excellent teaching, and they remove far away from it. Then, further on in this chapter of Bani Israel, another verse, in it, a snapshot has been taken of these people again. And the translation of this is that we gradually reveal of the Quran that which is a healing and a mercy to the believers, but it only adds to the loss of the wrongdoers. So therefore it has been explained further at this point. That a person is seen according to whatever his nature is. It is said that a person suffering from jaundice, his eyes become pale, and it seems to him that everything is yellow. An irreverent person, he sees everything according to his nature. When Allah the Almighty states, Hudalil Muttaqeen, that it is a guidance for the righteous, then it is said right from the beginning of the Holy Quran. That this beautiful teaching entailed in the Holy Quran of this guidance, which is superior to all earlier teachings, this will only be evident to those who have taqwa, righteousness and fear of Allah. Guidance will only be given to those who have the fear of God within their hearts. So therefore these people, as much as they wish, they can keep on abusing and using profanities. We are not concerned at all that due to this disrespectful stance, they will, God forbid, harm the teachings of the Holy Quran. The great status of the Holy Quran and the protection of it, it has been taken into the hands of God Himself. In fact, in this verse, believers have been given a glad tiding. That is the other verse that I recited. That the Holy Quran is a means of mercy, and it is a means of mercy for all times. It will keep on facilitating mercy forever. It is a remedy of your spiritual ailments. Similarly, it is a remedy for your physical ailments. It contains every single kind of teaching. And if you join the previous verse with this, then there is a glad tiding for the believers that the truth has come and falsehood has vanished. Innal batila kana zuhuka. Falsehood, deception, deceit, and lying, all of these things are going to vanish. Because this is so decreed. So therefore here, what has been drawn attention towards, that by putting a price on people's heads, or by causing disorder, or by protesting in an improper way, this will not establish the honor of the Holy Quran. In fact, a true believer, he adopts the teachings of the Holy Quran, and through this alone, he establishes the superiority and greatness of the Holy Quran, and then he will become this. By showing the beautiful teachings of the Holy Quran to the entire world, he can make evident the difference between truth and falsehood. And when this teaching becomes evident to the entire world, then God's decree will manifest to be a mercy for believers, and it will become evident as an ointment for the injured hearts. The victory of the Holy Quran will become the victory for the believers. Without this, there is no way left for the world. Through the teachings of the Holy Quran, their spiritual and material progress is attached. They should adopt this teaching upon themselves. This is their only way. So therefore, in particular, Ahmadis, they are not concerned at all about the obscene and vicious actions of these people, because we are the believers of that Messiah and Mahdi, who in this era came to spread the teachings of the Holy Quran to the world once again. Regarding this, the Holy Quran says in Surah Al-Jum'ah that يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ الْمَلِكِ الْقُدُّوسِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِن قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينٍ وَآخَرِينَ مِّنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. That whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth glorifies Allah, the Sovereign, the Holy, the Mighty, the Wise. He it is who has raised among the unlettered people a messenger from among themselves, who recites unto them his signs and purifies them, and teaches them the book and wisdom. Although they had been before in manifest misguidance. And among others from among them who have not yet joined them, he is the Mighty, the Wise. So therefore there was a first phase when Allah the Almighty sent the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, who through this teaching that was brought by him, he brought about a revolutionary change in the extremely deteriorated condition the world was in. Those people who are ignorant and upon the most trivial matters, like animals, would be after each other's blood. Beautiful verses were recited upon them, and through this excellent teaching they were purified. Ignorant and illiterate people were immersed in this knowledgeable teaching, and this beautiful book, which is the only revealed book which until the end of time has encompassed all aspects of wisdom and knowledge, and has identified these things through which those who are animals can become humans. And as the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has said, that these people became humans, and then they became knowledgeable humans, and then from knowledgeable humans, they ultimately became godly people. In the current age, God's mercy and favor once again has descended upon us, and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, ardent devotee, was sent to us so that he could recite the Quran and the verses to us, so that he can increase our spirituality, he can increase us in faith and belief, so that by guiding us truly, he could then purify us. So he could make us aware of the reality of this divine book and also acquaint us with it. And also to tell us that how this book is a healing and a mercy for us. How this final Sharia, this final law, how he told us about the hidden pearls of wisdom of its teaching. Therefore, this is God Almighty's favor upon the believers, which only and only today that great Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, his servants and his spiritual slaves, Allah the Almighty, has only bestowed this upon them. Who are those who follow and adopt the commandments of Allah the Almighty, and are those who fulfill the prophecy of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, with regard to the greatness of the Holy Quran in this era. How has the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, elucidated this most clearly? Comparing the Torah in one place, he says, "The claim of the Christian missionaries is entirely false. that the Quran does not set forth anything new on the unity of God and on divine commandments which is not contained in the Torah. An ignorant person reading the Torah might fall into the error that it sets forth the unity of God and directs with regard to worship and the rights of mankind. And he may think that what is new that has been set out in the Holy Quran? However, this error will only fall upon a person who has not pondered on the word of God. It should be clear that there are a great part of matters of divine that find no mention in the Torah. For instance, it does not mention the finer stages of the unity of God at all in the Torah. The Quran discloses that the unity of God does not mean merely that we should not worship idols or human beings or animals or the elements or heavenly bodies or Satans, but in fact that the unity of God has three stages. The first stage of the unity of God is for the common people, that is, those people who desire to be delivered from the wrath of God Almighty. The second stage is for those special people, that is, those people who desire to be closer to God Almighty than the common people, and those people who want to develop something special. The third stage is for extremely special people who desire to achieve extreme closeness to perfection. He says that the first stage of unity of God is that no one should be worshipped except God, and that one should refrain from the worship of everything that is limited and created, whether it is on the earth or in the heaven. A person should not worship it and safeguard himself from doing this. The second stage of the unity of God is that in one's own affairs and in the affairs of others, God Almighty should be regarded as a true force. That is, the means should not be emphasized as to become associates of God, so that nobody should associate anything with God. For instance, you say that if I had not said, then I would have certain a certain loss, and if I had not why, then I would have been destroyed or ruined. If these words are used with this intention, that truly that Zaid and Bakr are considered something, then this would amount to shirk, associating bodies with God. To say that the third stage of the unity of God is to exclude the desire of one's ego from one's love of God Almighty and to devote oneself entirely to His greatness. Such unity of God, where is it found in the Torah? Also, there is no mention of salvation or hell in the Torah, except some slight indications here and there. In the same way, there is no detailed mention in the Torah of the perfect attributes of God Almighty. Had the Torah contained any chapter, like the chapter of the Holy Quran, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ سَمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ, that say He is Allah the One, Allah the Independent and Besought of all. He begets not, nor is He begotten, and there is none like unto Him. If there was, then perhaps the Christians might have refrained from the worship of a creature. Also, the Torah has not set forth the degrees of rights, but the Quran has set forth his teaching also in perfection. For instance, it says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى, that Allah the Almighty commands that you abide by justice and to treat with grace and give like the giving of kin to kin. That is, your sympathy with mankind should be prompted by natural eagerness and not by any motive of seeking acknowledgement. As for instance, a mother has sympathy for her child. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says that in this same way, the Torah also fails to establish the existence of God and His unity and His perfect attributes on the basis of reason. But the Holy Quran has established all these doctrines and the need of revelation and prophet with arguments based on reason. And by stating everything in a philosophic way, has made it easy for seekers after truth to appreciate it. All these arguments are put forth in such an excellent manner in the Holy Quran that it is not within anyone's power, for instance, to put forth any argument on the existence of God which is not already contained in the Holy Quran. He says that a strong argument in support of the need of the Holy Quran is that all the previous books, from the book of the Moses, peace be upon him, the Torah, to the Gospels, they address a particular people, namely the children of Israel. And they state in clear words that the directions contained in them are not for the general benefit, but they are limited to the children of Israel. But the Holy Quran aims at the reform of the entire world and is not addressed to any particular people, but states plainly and clearly that it has been revealed for the benefit of the whole of mankind, and the reform of everyone is its purpose. Hazrat says, this is but a glimpse of that treasure that is brought by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, with reference to the superiority of the Holy Quran. We Ahmadis are fortunate. And we can only be called fortunate when we try to adopt the teachings of the Holy Quran into our lives, and when we show the entire world that, look, this is the illuminating teaching that you raise objections about. Then can we rightfully be considered amongst the Jamaat of the Akhirin, the latter ones? In one of my sermons, I cited the example of the German Jamaat, that in various venues the Jamaat there held exhibitions on the Holy Quran, and sometimes they used church halls for these exhibitions, and many good results have come out of this. So my inference at that time by mentioning all of this was that the Jamaats of other countries should also hold such exhibitions. However, this was not carried out in that manner. If a program was made properly in the USA and an exhibition was held, then the media, which nowadays is drawn towards Islam, and who quote from that unjust person also, they would have referred to us as well. Although the American Jamaat, by the grace of Allah, to spread the message of priests, to spread the message of the Jamaat, they are doing leafleting and also holding seminars, and they are doing this on a very large scale, and this has led to good results. The media have covered this quite extensively. However, exhibitions have not been organized as they should have been. It is the work of a believer that he keeps his eye on every front. If such exhibitions are held in America and in other places, and arrangements are made for exhibitions, even if a hall is taken out on rent. The reason for this is sometimes when an exhibition is held in mosques, because there is so much propaganda against Islam, it has developed unnecessary fear in people, and because of this some people do not attend if it is in a mosque. So if a hall is taken out on rent, where an exhibition is held, translations of the Holy Quran are placed, the beautiful teachings of the Holy Quran are put onto posters and placed around, there should be beautiful displays there as well. Then this will draw the attention of people, and the attention of the media will also be drawn towards this. Nowadays, there is a lot of attention towards Islam. Sometimes people write correct things. For example, things are written about the Jamaat, and often they are correct. What is their intention? God knows better. But anyhow, we need to take benefit from this. We may take part in stalls and general exhibitions. However, its coverage is not in the media. There are many other people with very large stalls, other people are there, people have different interests. So when we hold a specially different exhibition, its effects will be much greater. If specifically a separate arrangement is made, then the world will come to know what the Holy Quran actually is and what the teachings are entailed therein. The enemies say a lot about Qital and Jihad, but they do not explain in what circumstances this is permitted. Where Allah the Almighty has permitted one to raise the sword, there what has been said is to protect the Christians and the Jews. Only the Muslims have not been mentioned there. So these are deceptions of the Dajjal, the Antichrist, to try and inflict harm upon Islam. From various vicinities, from time to time, these concoctions arise. We need to completely repel these, and in order to completely do this, a constant endeavor is required. It is Jamaat Ahmadiyya alone that can truly fulfill the right of performing this. The extract from the writings of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, I write out. It informs us the significance of this teaching of the Holy Quran and how it has provided a comparison. Then, how much emphasis the Quran and Islam has given on justice, no other book has provided that. In one place, Allah the Almighty states, لا ينحاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم إن الله يحب المقسطين. And Allah forbids you not. It does not forbid you respecting those who have not fought against you on account of your religion and who have not driven you forth from your homes, that you be kind to them and act equitably towards them. Surely Allah loves those who are equitable, that those who do not fight you, who do not inflict you harm. You are not forbidden from making friends with them, or from being pious with them, or from dispensing justice with them. Then Allah the Almighty states that Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهُدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. That O ye who believe, be steadfast in the cause of Allah, bearing witness in equity, and let not a people's enmity incite you to act otherwise than with justice. Be always just, that is nearer to righteousness, and fear Allah, surely Allah is well aware of what you do. Then Allah the Almighty says, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنَ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ الْجَنْبِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. And worship Allah and associate naught with Him, and show kindness to parents and to kindred, and orphans and the needy, and to the neighbor that is a kinsman, and the neighbor that is a stranger, and the companion by your side, and the wayfarer, and those whom your right hands possess. Surely Allah loves not the proud and the boastful. Now in these verses, we are being commanded that with those disbelievers who do not cause any enmity, you should be pious and just with them. Then there is a verse of the chapter Maida, that even be just with the enemies, because there are certain rights and limits of even enmity. If the enemy is doing unjust and unpleasant acts, then you should not act otherwise than with justice, and act improperly in any way. Do not transgress beyond the crime performed. Whatever immorality he is displaying, do not display the same thing. Then the third verse of Surah Al-Nisa, from the parents to every kind of person and category of human, it is said to be just with all of these classes, that be kind and generous with the entire mankind, so that peace can be established in the world. So therefore, for the sake of establishing peace, for the sake of establishing a peaceful society, this is a great teaching that we find in the Holy Quran. And this today is the guarantor of peace. Not that action by that despicable American priest who insulted the Holy Quran. These people are surely calling out for the wrath of Allah. So therefore, it is our work that whenever we see any obscene attacks against Islam, the Holy Quran and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, by the enemies, then first of all, we need to adopt our teachings according to the true teachings of Islam. Then, we need to preach this beautiful teaching in society. Whatever resources and means are available, they should be utilized. May Allah the Almighty enable us to achieve this. At this time, I will mention a great saint and scholar of this dispensation, who was a hafiz of the Quran, who had memorized the entire Quran and who had a special connection with the Holy Quran. His secular education was also very high. He had a great name in astronomy. However, his science was always according to the Holy Quran. He passed away in the past few days. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. And his name was Hafiz Saleh Al-Adeen. For the past approximately 4 years, he was in Qadian and he was a sadr of the Anjuman-e Ahmadiyyat. But apart from this, for a long time, he was a member of the Anjuman Ahmadiyya. He obtained an MSc in physics from Usmania University. Then later, he achieved a PhD in America in astronomy and astrophysics. In 1963, in one of the observatories in the University of Chicago, USA, this is where he achieved his PhD, and he had many qualities and excellences. From an intellectual standpoint, he had written more than 50 articles and research papers in various international magazines, and he received many different awards for these. For example, one of the famous awards of India, called the Magnet Sar Award, which related to theoretical science, this was achieved by him in 1981. Apart from this, he received so many different awards when I was looking at his history, but he was so humble to the extreme. The dynamic of galaxies or lunar and solar eclipses was his favorite topic. He wrote about the Quran and the Hadith with reference to the solar and lunar eclipse and the truthfulness of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. In relation to this, he delivered different speeches in various jalsas. He delivered a speech in the UK and even in Qadian. From 1994 to 1995, on the centenary of the sign, he wrote articles in various Jamaat magazines which were published. In 2009 as well, he delivered a speech about the existence of God in light of astronomy, and this was a very intellectual speech he gave. His scientific articles would always be in light of the Holy Quran. He would always prove them from the verses of the Holy Quran. All his articles on science, they would always have inference to the Holy Quran, and he was an expert in this regard. He was also naturally inclined towards this topic. He was also a research scholar and research fellow of different universities. There is just a long list. It cannot be read out just now. Then, great minds of the 21st century, American Biographical Institute, Raleigh, America, they also gave him this award. That was in 2003. He also gave many services to the faith. Two of the great signs of the coming of the Imam Mahdi, of his truthfulness, he wrote about that. Then there is a sign of truthfulness of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, the solar and lunar eclipse, he wrote about that as well. Our God, the dynamics of colliding galaxies, the dynamics of stellar systems, the goal of man and the way to reach it, the use of scientists on the existence of God, He also wrote these kind of books. He also provided services in different ways. He was a provincial Amir. He also remained a secretary in the Sadr Jamaat. He also remembered a member of Sadr Anjuman, as I said. After his retirement, he came to Qadian some time ago. And then I appointed him as a Sadr Anjuman. He also had a great connection with Almighty Allah. His wife told once that once he came to Karachi, Pakistan, then at the Karachi airport, the customs, they confiscated some electrical equipment of his. It was a very concerning situation of him. Not that he could have done anything wrong, but those who are in the habit of travel, they are aware of how customs act and how they sometimes stop people. But anyhow, his wife said that after a short while, she saw that Aladdin Sahib, that he had disappeared. And she became worried that where did he go? After a short while, he returned, and I asked him that where did you go? In this time of great concern, he said that I thought that in this circumstance, only God could help. So therefore, I went to one place and I performed two voluntary or nafil prayers. So he said, let us go. Our things will be returned to us. So with great confidence, he went to the customs. In this time, the people who were in the customs had changed the shift. So the customs apologized and returned their things. In such a predicament, if it was anyone else, he would have looked to get a recommendation or would have been extremely anxious. But he only submitted to Almighty Allah. His wife's sister is Dr. Nusrat Jahan, and he was also the son-in-law of Dr. Abdul Malik Khan Sahib. He said, when I went to Qadian, because of illness, I saw he could not go into the mosque. And he was extremely distressed by this, and he would express this, that I cannot go to the mosque, but all of you are able to go to the mosque for prayers. She said, he told me, and others have mentioned this as well, that he said that I must have been 26 years of old when Sheikh Yaqub Al-Ilfani Sahib, I came before him to submit my services. I had just come in when he said, either now or today, I saw a dream in which Hazrat Hakim Maulvi Nuruddin Sahib, Khalifatul Masih the First, may Allah be pleased with him, was present. Irfani Sahib says that in the dream I saw that Aladdin Sahib was sitting on the chair of Hazrat Hakim Nuruddin Sahib. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih the First came, he was sitting there, and he put him in that chair. So Aladdin Sahib said that I thought that what is my position compared to Hazrat Khalifatul Masih the First? When I went back to Qadian, it is when he went to Qadian, then after some time, Chaudhry Mirza Wasim Sahib, after he passed away, then Hazur had made him Sadr Anjuman Ahmadiyya. He said, that time I read the history of Ahmadiyya, and I found out that the first Sadr of the Anjuman was Hazrat Khalifatul Masih the First, and therefore the dream of Hazrat Yaqub Ali Irfani Sahib came true after this long time. Once he was preparing for an exam at school, he had a great connection with the Holy Quran. And with great effort, he memorized the entire Holy Quran. He said, I had a paper in the morning, and his mother said, prepare for the paper. But I was reading the Holy Quran, he said, and I was remembering it and memorizing it. He memorized the Quran himself at home. He would go down to the basement in his house, and he would remember and memorize the Quran there. When his mother saw this interest in the Holy Quran, then, in order for him to memorize the Holy Quran, she brought in a muallim or a teacher. He had complete obedience with Khilafat. Sentiments of great devotion were seen in him to this effect. He had great love for the Darveshani Qadian. As I state, in every difficulty, he would become engrossed in prayer and nafl or voluntary prayers. He was a selfless person. He would perform the tahajjud prayer. He would recite the Holy Quran regularly. In the days of Jalsa Salana in Aqsa, he would also lead the tahajjud prayers. He always preferred to sit in spiritual or religious gatherings. He had no liking for the world whatsoever. One Murabbi Sahib wrote to me that this is a very old story relating to Aladdin Sahib. There was a wedding of one of his relatives and he went to go and attend that wedding. That when the announcement for nikah was about to occur, then because of his status in the world and also because of his being elder in the family and also respected, then they said to him that you please read the nikah. Then he became extremely angry that do you not respect murabbis or rakfis in the geese? How is it possible that the murabbi is here and I lead the nikah? If you say anything like this and I will not attend your wedding, he said. One of our murabbis wrote that in 2008, when the pledge of the Khilafat Jubilee was taken, then after that his condition changed altogether. He always remained totally engaged in tabligh. He re-established his connections with old acquaintances, with old scientists, and he made an email address. And then he would try to contact them and communicate with them. He would invite them to come to Qadian. Even in an elderly age, due to his weakness, he attended the meeting of scientists in Delhi only for the reason that he could establish contacts. And he gave them literature of the Jamaat, and he also went to many houses of the professors to meet them, and he invited them to Qadian. In 2008, the International Year of Astronomy was celebrated under the UNO. So he went to Bangalore, and with regard to the Holy Quran and science, he delivered an excellent speech despite his weakness and old age. And after that, he was able to contact many professors. After he had researched into the solar and lunar eclipse once, he did not stop there. In fact, he kept on trying to find new research in this field. The person who wrote this said that he did not know how to operate a computer so much, so he took help from me. After his work at the Anjuman, then whatever time he had available, he would come with this worker and sit with him. And he would research into new topics. He would say that we should make a team of youngsters who every month would go outside of the city into an open or village or remote area and should look for the new moon. They should form a database where they should include when the new moon is visible every month, because science cannot tell us that when the moon will be visible by the naked eye. If we keep this record safe, then we will obtain many answers to different allegations. He used to ponder and reflect on these things. He would say to witness the moon by your naked eye is very important. Whatever Muslims progressed in a certain field of science, it is through witnessing the science. In the Holy Quran, Allah Almighty has said regarding this moon that لِتَعْلَمُ عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابِ. Often at night he would go and observe the stars, and he would say that in France there was a scientist who would also say that the stars do not only emit the lights that radiate our eyes. In fact, such a light is also emitted from it that illuminates our minds. So therefore, according to the commandment of the Holy Quran, he would always reflect on the creation of the heavens and the earth. He was amongst the Ulil Albab, the men of understanding. His grandfather initially became Ahmadi. And that is also quite an amazing incident. He said, I was a businessman, a man of the world, I had no inclination with the faith. But one day the Review of Religions magazine happened to come before me. And it also said there that provide an advertisement. So in it I saw an advertisement for the philosophy of the teachings of Islam. I ordered that book and I read it as well. And then all the darknesses and doubts dispelled. And he said that such a revolution came within me, that I started fasting, I started also doing optional fast, I also started performing the tahajjud prayers. Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, saw a dream once. And the interpretation of the dream was, because Said Sahib, his grandfather, had relations with Hazrat Mufti Sadiq Sahib. And Yaqub Ali Irfani Sahib and Hafiz Roshan Ali Sahib. So they mentioned this to Hazrat Musleh Maud. So hence, he became acquainted with him. And Hazrat Musleh Maud said that, I saw a dream that he will accept Ahmadiyyat and he will be the recipient of great spiritual blessings and serve the faith brilliantly. So subsequently, that grandfather took the bet, the Pledge of Allegiance. Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, also mentioned his grandfather, because they were an old and holy family, that his status in terms of services to the community is perhaps the highest. I know his financial circumstances are not such that people assume by seeing his resources. However, Allah the Almighty has given him extremely pure heart, and I am very proud upon him, because at the time of his entering the community, Allah the Almighty had already informed me of his sincerity, although I had not seen him before. I see that he is so pained and lost in the love of this community that I become envious seeing this sacrifice. I believe that this is a blessing amongst the blessings of Allah. If only the other people of the Jamaat, in particular businessmen, follow his footsteps and display sincerity. These are the words of Hazrat Musleh Maud. Maulvi Muhammad Ismail Sahib Yadgiri says that I estimated how much his financial sacrifice is. In those days there is no paise. Nowadays there is 100 paise in 1 rupee. In those times there is ane, and there were 16 ane in 1 rupee. He said, I estimated that 14 ane he would spend for the service of the faith, and he would only keep 2 ane for his own needs. Even though he was a great businessman, this is what he would do. Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, with regards to his grandfather, said that his passion for the tabligh of the faith was such that just like the old companions of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, like Maulvi Burhanuddin, etc., and his passion for spending in the way of Allah is like Sayyid Abdul Rahman Zahib, may Allah be pleased with him. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, had as an angel Sayyid Abdul Rahman Sahib, and with me, I have you as an angel. So this is a brief introduction to him, and also an introduction to his family. There is an incident that his son relates of his humbleness and simplicity. Once he was at the Delhi station. At that time he was wearing a red shirt, and the porters, they normally wear red shirts. So a family came and they thought that he was a porter, and take our luggage from here to there, they said. Without any complaint, he took their luggage. I'm talking about Hafiz Salih al-Din Hazrul says, who had just passed away. This is what happened with him. So he took the luggage and he carried it all the way, and when that person wanted to provide some money, then Saleh Aladdin Sahib said that you told me to take the luggage and this is why I helped you, there is no need for any money. So those other people became very embarrassed. In other words, he had extreme humility. He came here to the UK for the Jalsa for the first time in 2003. If not the first time, but anyhow, he did come in 2003. His health was not very well, and the transport arrangements were not proper. He had to wait for a long time, and then his accommodation was not very suitable. But without any complaint whatsoever, according to the Jamaat system, he spent his days. May Allah the Almighty bestow His mercy upon him. May Allah the Almighty enable His children to remain established on piety. His wife had passed away before him, I will perform his funeral prayers after the Friday prayers. Then there is another funeral of Colonel retired Muhammad Saeed Sahib. He was residing in Canada when he passed away on the aeroplane en route to Pakistan. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to him we shall return. In Vancouver and Calgary, he had remained an honorary murabbi. In addition, he also worked as General Secretary, Sadr Qaza Board and Secretary of Visaya. He also worked on the Ahmadiyya Gazette and coordinator for Waqf-e-Noor. He took part in the French translation of the Quran in Quebec. When Hazrat Khalifa Masih IV, may Allah mercy him, announced the Baytul Hamd project, he expressed a desire to give 100,000 rupees on behalf of his family. So he was not able to give that at that time, so he left for Canada. At that time, at the construction of the mosque Baytul Salam, he donated $100,000 for it. He donated generously towards publication of the Holy Quran in two translations. May Allah the Almighty elevate his station, be the helper and protector of his children. As I said, I will lead the funeral prayers of both of these elders and holy people.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, na'maduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر